Today's daf, Be'ezer Hashem, is daf Yud Aleph in Sota. We are about 10, 11 lines, the first wide line on the wide lines on daf Yud on the base. The Gemara is discussing Avshalom. The Mishnah had told us that Avshalom had been gaudy and haughty about his hair, and for that reason, he was punished in his hair, as the Gemara spells out over here. Tan Rabbanan. First wide line on Yud Amud Beis. Tan Rabbanan. Avshalom b'saro marad. Shneimar uchavshalom yilo haya ish yafel v'golcho etz rosho. V'haya miketz l'yamim asher yigalach ki kaved olav v'golcho v'shokol etz sarosho masayim shkolim be'evin amelech. The pasuk in Shmuel Beis Yudalid describes to us, these are three psukim, parts of three psukim that we just read, that Avshalom had his hair shaved and he got a tremendous amount of money for his hair. And he had taken gaiva from his hair. Tana Evan Sha'an Sheitzvirya, some said that he had gotten 200 shekel of Evan Amelech, that refers to the stone of Anshei Tverya, Anshei Tziporim Shoklimba, a very large and significant sum of money. Lefichach nisla b'sar, that's why ultimately he hung from his hair. The Torah describes in Shmuel Beis Yudches the awful onesh that Avshalom had gotten, and as he was riding his away from those who were chasing him, his hair got stuck in the tree. As the Gemara says, Shenemar v'ikra Avshalom lefnei avdei David v'Avshalom rochev al haperad. Avshalom was riding on a donkey. Vayavo aperet tachas hashov v'chala agdola. He went under an arm tree. Vayechaz rosha v'ala. His hair got stuck. Vayutan bein shamayim uvein ha'aretz v'apar asher tachtav ovar. He was stuck hanging, literally between heaven and earth. And the donkey kept on going. And ultimately there, he was killed, due to being trapped by his own hair. His hair had trapped him many years earlier. And then he realized that he was trapped by his hair. Seven lines from the bottom, skipping the brackets. Tandavei Rabbi Shmuel. So Gemara is now bothered. Dvei Rabbi Shmuel are bothered. How is it that Avshalom let himself get trapped after he was cutting his hair? Why didn't he just cut his hair off? Presumably, he himself had a sharp object with him. He was in fighting mode, probably a sword. So why didn't he sever between his hair and his head? Might have been a little bit painful, but cut through the hair and then fall to the ground. Tandavei Rabbi Shmuel, ba'isa sha nifka sha'ol mitachtav. Gehenim was opened up underneath him, and hence he was fearful of cutting his hair. Exactly what the Gemara means. It sounds like the Gemara is explaining a physical phenomenon. I'm not sure. It happens that just yesterday the Talmidim from my Gemara Shir in Nitiv Aryeh asked me, when are Midrashim meant to be taken literally and when are they not to? It seems at first glance, the rule that I have is unless the Chazal expressly tell you that it's meant to be taken literally, there are times that it could be taken metaphorically, especially if they don't indicate that there was something that was miraculous. When the Torah says that there was a miracle, that it was a miracle. When Chazal say that it was a nes, that there was a nes. But what happens if it just stated matter-of-factly? Does it mean literally that the Gehenim opened up underneath him? In general, when Chazal say that, I tend to understand it figuratively, although in this case, I'm a little bit stuck because it seems like a physical phenomenon. Until I saw that, again, thanks to Hamdifta edition, they quote the Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer in Perek Nun Beis that says that Avshalom had said, Mutav li litos b'sa'ari v'lo amos be'esh gehenim. I'd rather hang by my hair than die in the fire of Gehenim. In other words, he felt that now he had to choose either to die this terrible death and serve as a kapara, or that he would be doomed for Gehenim. This fits in also in Tosas Dibra Maskel da Asya, where Tosas says that Avshalom was zochet to come out of Gehenim because of the fact that he died a Misa Meshuna, as we're going to see alluded to in the Hemshich of the Gemara. It seems that the Marsha and others do understand this Gemara literally, but according to the Pirka de Rabbi Eliezer, it could be that the Pshat in the Gemara, as we suggested. Either way, the Gemara says that he felt Nifka Sha'ol Mitachtov. Period. Continues the Gemara, and it quotes David's painful action. Vayir Gaza Melech Vayal Aliyas Ashar. Five lines for the Pan Vayev. Vekoy Amar. Belechtoi Bini Avshalom. Bini Avshalom. He went, and he paced back and forth, and he cried. My son Avshalom, notice how many times it says, my son. Bini Avshalom, Bini Avshalom. Miutei Moiseni Tachtich Avshalom, Bini. Vayamelech lot es ponem vayizak amelech kol adol bini avshalom bini. The Gemara counts. Hani tam naya bini lama. Why is it that the Torah recounts that David said bini 8 times? Explains the Gemara, 3 lines from the bottom. Shiva daski mishiva midura gehenim. 7 times to raise him up from Gehenim. In other words, according to this, and this is the Ramaskal da Asya, says that normally the zchus of a father does not save a child, but rather only a child can save a father, Sanhedrin Kuf Dalid Amin Aleph, but says Tosas, but because already Avshalom had gone through Misa Mishuna, so then David had the koach to be able to pull him out from the Gehenim, and that would fit in beautifully with the way the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer understand that Avshalom had to choose between the doom of Gehenim and coming out through a Misa Meshuna, but it also required David's tefillos. So 7 times to take him out from Gehenim. What about the 8th time? V'idach. And the last time, they're 2 pshatim. Ikadami the car ratio the gabe gufe, to tell us that his head was close to the body and was thereby buried together. Vikadami daisil alma da'asi, that they let him in to olam haba. The Gemara continues to expound on the psukim of Shalom. 2 lines from the bottom. Rav Shalom lokach vayatsev lo b'chayiv. The pasuk over here in Shmuel Beis, Yud Ches, is describing the monument that Avshalom had put up for himself already in his lifetime. And the Torah says, Avshalom lokach fayatzev lo b'chayv es matzev es asher be'emek hamolech. And here, the pasuk says, lokach, he took. Chazal darshin, my lokach, what did he take? Amrei shlokish lokach mekach reliatzvah. He took a bad idea for himself to rebel against his father. And the pasuk describes as matzevas asher be'emek hamolech, he took a matzeva be'emek hamelech. What is emek hamelech? I'm reading bar papa be'etza amuka shel malko shel olam. The rebellion of Avshalom was actually a gzeira from Hakadosh Baruch Hu in response to David Hamelech's aveira with Bathsheba. Desiv, as the pasuk says, hineni make a malecha ra mibeisa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells David HaMelech, I am going to punish you, and this is the Ram Beitzecha. Kayotze b'dav ra'ata omer v'yishachu me'emek Chevron. Similarly, we find in regards to Yosef, say when Yaakov sent him after his brothers, v'yishachu me'emek is representative, the emek is representative of something deep, and that is Amar Rav Chinina bar Papa be'etza amuka shel tzadik shebekover b'chevron. It had to do with the deep etza that this tzadik, who's that, Avraham Avinu, who sleeps in Chevron, that was what had happened when Yosef was sent for his brothers. As Avraham Avinu had said, "D'chsiv yadoya teda ki ger yazaracha, ki amar einli ben v'lo have b'ni." The Gemara now goes back to Avshalom, that did not have any children. Asks the Gemara, how could that possibly be? V'aksiv, I told you, Avshalom, shosh avonim, uvas achas. that he did have children. So why is it, Avshalom explained himself, that he put up the matzeva because he didn't have children, but the Torah says expressly that he did have children. Six lines from the top. He didn't have a child that was appropriate and ready for Malchus. Hence, he felt he needed something for his legacy. Rav Chisda Amar Gmiri, earlier on Daftes, that the same applies also for the good. Not only for the bad does HaKadosh Baruch Hu play person back Mida Keneged Mida, also for the good as well. Miriam. Same applied to Miriam. Miriam had waited for her brother to protect him, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was put out as a baby on Yam Suf. So too, Klal Yisrael waited for Miriam when she was in Mitzora. Asks the Gemara, Mi dami hasam chadasha ta'acha shevi yoma. There she waited for a moment to see if Moshe was going to be okay. And here it was for 7 years. Tosus is bothered that it's not explicit in Tosus, but I believe this is what Tosus implicitly is bothered by. In Dibra Maskel Miriam, then our Mishnah, it says that Miriam waited Shah Achas, and in the Gemara it says Chodoshaita. And Chodoshaita means a small period of time, and Shah Achas is an hour. So Tosus actually learns that Shah Achas doesn't necessarily mean an hour. It could mean a third of an hour, 20 minutes, or 15 minutes. Tosus then has problems with this. But it would seem from the Gemara, as Tosus initially explains, that Shah Achas doesn't literally mean an hour, even a smaller moment time from that, which is also interesting. Of course, this what would emerge is that Miriam actually stood out for Moshe for a short period of time, and it seems that the event with Batya Basparo took place pretty quickly after at least Miriam had arrived. Mark continues, Amar Abaye Ema Ulinyan Hatava Enakein. Abaye says, you're right, it doesn't equal, and therefore you got to turn the Mishnah all upside down. Not when it comes to Hatava, it's the same way HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays it back, Mida Kenegan Mida, but exact opposite. Ulinyan Hatava Enakein. It's not that way. In other words, it's paid back even more. Amalei Rava, ha v'cheilin yinatava k'tani. It says v'cheilin yinatava. Amalei Rava, Rava, ha k'tani. V'chein l'inyin hatova deba'osa mida. Deba'osa mida here will mean is similar in the type of measurement. However, there's going to be a difference. Ula olam continues the Gemara in the first wide line, yud alpha min aleph, ula olam mida tova meruba midas pranias. But really, mida tova gets paid back even more. In other words, she waited only for an hour or less, and she got back, people waited for her, and many, many more people, not just one, but all of Klal Yisrael waited for her for a week. Continues the Gemara two lines into the Wa'id. Miriam waits to see what's going to be with her dear brother Moshe. Rabbi Yitzchak Pasuk Zeh, Kul Al Shem Shechina Nemar. Rabbi Yitzchak says this is to correspond to the Shechina. Ne'ma v'teisa sav, t'chsi v'yovo Hashem v'yis yatsev. It says over here that she stood out, and it also says in regards to Hashem, v'yovo Hashem v'yis yatsev. Hashem stood and waited to speak to Shmuel. Sister has a connotation for Shechina. Achosa t'chsiv, as the Pasuk in Mishle says, Ema l'chochma chosiyat. Say to your chochma, you are my sister. And chochma, explains Rashi, is from the mouth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar ki Hashem yiten chochma piv udas usfuna. Rashi quotes in Dibra Maschil, Ema l'chochma. This is an important yesod, one of the most important ideas in Nefesh HaChaim, as well as in Tanya, and that is that the expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world is his Chachma. And so Chachma is the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the power of creativity of man is where he locks into that power of creativity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hence the Nevesh HaChaim writes that Chidushei Torah are the highest madrega of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because one is tapping into the Ruach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and also taking the Koach of his Chachus that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had given him. So Chachma is the expression of Shechina. The Tanya describes this, where he describes the Neshama as being the expression of Chachma, and he says the great delight that a person gets in Chachma is that sense of union between the Tachtonim and the Elyonim. So both in the Sefer Nevesh HaChaim, which is the magnum opus for all yeshivas, as well as Tanya, which is the magnum opus for Chassidus, all speak of this idea about Chochmah itself being a presence of Shechina. Okay, so we already have Ateis Atzava Choso, and now the last, that both are reminiscent of Shechina, three lines in, Merachok, Tichsim, Merachok Hashem, Nira Li Ladat. Excuse me, Merachok Hashem, Nira Li. That Kadosh Baruch Hu is also described as distance, as Yirmiyahu and Lamed Aleph says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to me from a distance. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not close. Ladat. The Pasuk by Miriam says, V'ateisatzah v'achosom merachok l'de'ah me'aselo. So we already explained v'ateisatzah v'achosom merachok. Now, das, oh. Yisiv kikel le'os Hashem. Here, of course, we have reference to the two out of the three parts of Chabad, of Chochma, Bina, and Das, as being Shechina. The Gemara continues, Ma dechsiv ma Hashem lekecha sholimach. The Torah tells us, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu ask from you? Kiyim liyirat, only to fear Him. That is reference to the Ma of Vateisa Tzavach HaSom Rechokar Lada Ma Yeoselo. So, we see Ma is an important part of the relationship between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yaseh, first HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Dichsiv ki lo yaseh Hashem lukim davar lo, Dichsiv vayikra lo, Hashem shalom. Marsha explains beautifully the significance of this drasha. We'll only spell out a part of it. At the end of the day, okay, the Gemara wants to show that there's a remez of HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'teisat tzavachosa. Why in every letter of the pasuk do we need a remez for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So firstly, Maharsha explains that the Vatei Setzav is superfluous. In terms of, why does the Torah have to tell us that Miriam went out? So the answer is, says the Maharsha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us a simen for His relationship with Klal Yisrael in the time of Golos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is referred to Achoso, who looks from a distance like Miriam did with Moshe Rabbeinu, and particularly we relate to the pasuk of Ma Hashem Lekecha Sholimach that we need Yerushmayim during the time of Galus, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching Meirachok to protect us through our Yerushmayim. See, the Maharsho explains every word and every part of the drasha. The Gemara now, seven lines into the wide and Yud Alamed Aleph, now begins to discuss Galus Mitzrayim. Vayokom melech chodosh asher lo yadas Yosef, a new king, came, Paro, who ultimately enslaved us in Egypt. Well-known Gemara, Rav Shmuel, chadomer chodosh mamish v'chadomer shizkach v'zeirusav. Some said he was a new king, the other was that he created anti-Semitic gzeirus. Mandomer chodosh mamish v'chsiv chodosh. That's a simple pshat.
It doesn't say that he died and he became the new king.
He acted as if he didn't know Klal Yisrael at all. He said to his people, here, these Jews, Tana, who is Chilbeitza? It was Paro's suggestion to enslave us, and that's why he was punished first. Who is Chilbei Tchila? Dechsiv Ayor Melamo? Lefilach Lokach Tchila. Dechsiv Uvechol V'amcho Uvechol V'adecha. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu warns Paro that he's going to be punished with Tzvardeya, he says, first he says, Uvecha, and with you.
The Gemara continues to point out an anomaly in regards to Paro's oppression and his anti-Semitic fear of the Jews. Hava nischak malo, let us go and outsmart him. Now, Paro is out to get all of Klal Yisrael, all Bnei Yisrael. So what is the expression lo in the singular? Lohem mi boile, asks the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Chanina, bo v'nechakem l'moshiyin shel Yisrael. Paro was worried specifically about the one who was going to save Klal Yisrael. He was going to try to outmaneuver him. He says to his officers, "My nidonim,
what are we going to kill him by? Nidonim by Eish. If we're going to kill him by fire, well, we've got to be afraid of God when it comes to fire. Kine Hashem by Eish Yavo. Pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Yeshayo, he says that he's going to come. V'chasufa mirachaysav l'hashe b'chem ha'apo. We got to stay away from that. Uksiv ki be'eish Hashem nishpot. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is strong and he uses it in judgment fire, with fire. B'cherev ksiv l'charbo eskol basar. And when it b'charbo eskol basar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu also in Yeshayo is described. B'charbo eskol basar. Elaboy v'nidoinam b'mayim. Oh, let us punish him, judge him literally, but really destroy him with water, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu will no longer punish the world with water, because he promised he's not going to bring another Mabul. That's also in Yeshayo. Asher nishbati ma'avor bein Noach. So we see also in Yeshayahu, when describing the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when it comes to water, it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not use that as a punishment. So Taka, what was their mistake? V'heinein and Yodin, they didn't know. Shall call Olam Kula Einam Mevi. They doesn't bring it on the entire world. Aval al Uma Achas Umevi. But he would bring it on one nation.
Inami, or else, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu even won't punish one nation.
Who ain't a mavi? Aval hein boim v'nafla mesolcha. But what happens if they jump in to water? People drown in water. That's because they jump in. V'cheinu omer Mitzrayim nasim l'kraso. Mitzrayim chased after them. They ran into the water. They ran into the Yamsuf. That was their mistake. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't bring it to them. V'cheinu damar Rebbe Lazar. And this is where Rebbe Lazar says, Ma'id yichsiv ki badovar asher zadu aleim b'kder shebish l'ba. The pot that a person cooks in, bonis bashlu, that is where they are, shabishlu bonis bashlu, they are cooked in that as well. And that's exactly the pasuk in Shmos Yud Ches Yud Aleph, ki ba'dovar shazadu aleim, means that they were punished in what they had cooked. My mashur, the haizadu loshnadak, deiruhu dechsiv ayazid Yaakov nozid. This expression of a pot is also symbolized in this pasuk, ba'dovar shazadu aleim, because Vayozed Yaakov Nozid is referred to a pot as well. Hence, we see that they were punished in the same manner that if a person makes a pot and makes in a pot, he could be cooked in that same pot. The Gemara now continues approximately 18 lines from the bottom. Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Simai, Shloish Ahayu Baisa Eitza. There were three officers that were around when Paro made this suggestion, Bilam v'Iyov Yisro. Bilam sheyatz nerag. Bilam, who gave the suggestion, was killed. I was bothered, happy to find that they quote the Eitz Yosef is bothered. This question, the Gemara said that Havan es chakmalo was Paro had said it. So why is it called Atzas Bilam? So it's because Bilam answered in the affirmative. He encouraged the suggestion. Iyov sheshasak. Iyov was silent. Nidon b'yisurim. He was punished with physical and emotional and financial pain. Yisro shebarach. Yisro ran away. In other words, by running away, it was clear that he objected. Zachum neibonim sheyoshu v'lishas ha'gozes. He was ocha that his descendants would one day sit and judge Klal Yisrael. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, u'mishpacho so from Yosh ve'yavitz tirasim, shemasim, suchasim, heima hakinim abo machmas,
Avi Veis Rochev. That is the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim Aleph Perek Beis. There were Mishpachos Sofrim, of course. The Lishkas Hagazis was a place where the ultimate Sofrim stand. And where do they say? They are from Hakenim. Uksiv b'nei Keni chayisem Moshe. And we know that the pasuk tells us that the children of the Keni were chosem Moshe, who of course are the descendants of Yisro.
The Gemara continues to analyze the psukim of Shibu Mitzrayim. V'nilcham banu, about 12 lines from the bottom, after two dots. Paro says he's afraid. V'nilcham banu, they'll war with us, v'allah minaret, and they will leave. As a child, I was always bothered by this as well. V'alinu mi boile, they'll kick us out. What's the fear? Rashi explains. Rashi is the best Rebbe. Rashi teaches us even what we were bothered by when we were children. Rashi explains that the Gemara is, Rashi teaches the first grader and the biggest Talmud Chacham. Rashi says that the Gemara is bothered by, that it should say, what's so bad? If your enemy leaves, then that's great. Va'alinu mi boile, answers the Gemara. You're right, it should say va'alinu, they would kick us out, and we would have to leave. So for that, that's what Paro is afraid of. Amar Rav Arkana, ka'adam shemekal esatzmo v'tolo kilosu b'chavero. It's like someone who curses himself, but puts the curse on his friend. In other words, he doesn't want to say the curse about somebody else, about himself, so therefore he puts it on someone else, but it's clear to everybody who he's talking about. The Gemara continues to play with the singular and the plural. The pasuk says, "Vayesimu alav." They put on him sarei misim. Those are the officers that tortured us in Mitzrayim. Alehem mi boile. It shouldn't say alav, rather alehem. Tandvei Reb Lozer Reb Shim la made shavia milabein. Rashi explains milabein is the form of brick. Vitala lo leparo bitzavaro, and they hung it on Paro. In other words, even Paro's working. They hung it on him. V'kolechad v'echad Yisroel sham lam istisani. And the Jews, when they complained, it's hard for me, I'm an istinus, I'm a very particular person, and such a thing is painful for me. So then they would respond to him, and they would say, it's painful for you, I'm l'kum istinus atios ani Paro. There's no one who is a greater istinus than Paro. Paro could do it, then certainly you can. And therefore, the way to read the rest of the pasuk, says the Gemara, according to this approach, is sare masim, misim, that Paro is the sare misim, that what does it mean? Dover shemesim, it's the thing that put Klal Yisrael into the shibud. The sare misim, what they did to sare misim, to Paro, that's ultimately the argument that co-opted all the Jews as well into the predicament that they ended up in. Gemara continues in this style of questioning, says, "Lemana noisoi b'sivloisam," that we should torture him with this tremendous hard work. Same question. Avanosami boile. We're talking about Klal Yisrael. The subject is Klal Yisrael. Says the Gemara, no. According to the above approach, leman anosa leparo, because of the mock pain that's given to Paro by giving him the structure of the brick, b'sivlosam di Yisrael, that will become the excuse to torture Klal Yisrael. This is a interesting theme that repeats with our enemies, that sometimes they say, no, you know, where everybody is the same, it's not out to get the Jews. Stalin's communism is the first thing that comes to mind. Sometimes evil leadership, this is not only anti-Semitism, but in general, a human foible is that evil leadership will sometimes feign itself as being equal to the pain of the people. And of course, Stalin himself starved millions of people with this type of approach. Yes, we're all committed and working in the same regard. Continues the pasuk, Vayiven Ari Miskinos Lefaroi. We built Here we have a machlokes, how to understand Arei Miskanos. Rav Ishmael, Chad Amar, Shemesachnos Es Baleim. One says that it means that the owners, in other words, the Egyptians, endangered their lives in it because they forced us to do it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished them. The Chad Amar, Shemaskanos Es Baleim. The Maskanos in Aramaic means to make poor. And ultimately, when Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim, they made the Mitzrayim a lot poorer by having to take, by taking much of their money. The Omar Mar, as Mar taught, Kola Oisek Bibinyin Mismaskein. The Gemara continues to expound on this pasuk of the hard labor of Bnei Yisrael, of Arei Miskanos, that their names, the pasuk says, were as Pisaim as Ramses. Rav Shmuel, Chad Omar Pisaim Shema. One said its name was actually Pisaim. Veloma Nikra Shema Ramses. And its name was not Ramses, but it was also called Ramses, Sherishon Rishon Misroses. Rashi explains that whatever they would build would fall down. A very, very painful thing that a person never sees the product, the fruits of their labor. V'chadom Ramses Shema, v'lam nekru Shema Pisaim, Sherishon Rishon Pitaim Boy. Everything that they built would be swallowed into the ground. Three lines from the bottom. And as they pained them, they continued to multiply. However, here again, is used in the singular. Excuse me, I read that line of the Gemara incorrectly. That is in the present future tense. Kain rabu v'chein partzu, the point that we made a single pearl is also a valuable one, but that's not the Gemara's kasha. The Gemara's kasha is kain rabu v'chein partzu. It should say that they did in the past. So, amarei shlakish hu hachakodesh mivsarasan, kain yirba v'chein yifrat. Shlakish says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying ruach hakodesh, that they would continually prolificate, that there was no eitz at the fight against Klal Yisrael. Here's the Gemara, two lines from the bottom of the Kutzim, Bnei Yisrael. Simple reading of the Pasuk means that the Egyptians found them disgusting. However, Chazal Darshin, Milamed Shoyedom in Beinem Kikotzim. They appeared to the Egyptians as thorns. They were a pain in the neck to them. Vayavidu Mitzrayim es Bnei Yisrael b'farech. Rabbi Eliezer Omer bepeh rach. They would convince them with a soft mouth. Again, they needed to be co-opted into this torture. We're starting a new Amud on Yud Aleph on the base. And the first opinion in the Gemara of Yavidu b'nei Mitzrayim es b'nei Yisrael b'farech is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed that the Mitzrayim would ensnare us by them talking to us about working for them with a sweet talk. And now we pick up on the top of Yud Aleph Amud Beis, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Amar Bepricha. Says, no, that's not the way to understand Befarech. Rather, comes from, it's a play on the words of hard work. Vayimaru es chayem bavodah kasha bechomer ulveinim. They forced us, embittered our lives made us work very hard. Amar Rava, b'tchila b'chomer veinim. Originally, it started with mortar and bricks. U'b'chol avodah b'sadu, l'b'sof b'chol avodah b'sada. And then it ended up with all different types of work. Eskol avodah samasher avodu v'hem b'farech. All the work. Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Amar Rabbi Yonasan, first wide line in Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Shei machlifin meleches anoshim l'noshim. Now it was no longer Chol Avodas V'Sada. It's Kol Avodasam. What's Kol Avodasam? Again, in elementary school, often children are taught the punchline, and that is Anoshim L'Anoshim, Lechas Anoshim L'Anoshim, Lechas Anoshim L'Anoshim. But it comes from the fact that there's a progression over here, starting from Befarech, then to Bavoda Kasha, then to Chol Avoda V'Sada, and then ultimately as Kol Avodasam, all different types of avoda. What is one of the biggest tortures? Meleches nashim la nashim. Ulamad amar nami
Hasam beperach. Even the man d'amar over there said it was perach. Hacha vaday bepricha. Certainly now that would be considered an avoda kasha. Darish ravira. B'schar noshim tzidkani yashayi b'yisei ador nigalu yisro mimitzrayim. It was due to the woman Tzikanios of that generation that we were redeemed from Mitzrayim. B'shosh olchos l'shov mayim, makodesh baruch hu mazalem dogin k'tonim b'kadeyen. Klal Yisrael barely had anything to eat. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent the women when they went out to draw a little bit of water, small fishes that came into their jars, v'shoavos. Machzeh mayim u'machzeh dogim, and they drew. Half of it was water and half was fish. Ubos v'shovsos shtei kederos. And then they put on the fire two pots. Achas shel chamin v'achas shel dogin. U'malichos eitzel ba'alein l'sad. And they brought it out to their husbands who were working in the field. Remember, the punchline of the avoda was eskal avoda. Somewhere right before it, it said u'v'chol avoda basadeh. So they brought it there to the field. They would wash them and anoint them and give them to food and they would give them to drink. Into an area which was private. And the reward that when the husband and wife were together, they did it bitsina. There was a large bounty. The Gemara here quotes proof to this with a pasuk in Tilim, but we shouldn't say the whole pasuk. In Tilim Samaches Yudalad, Im Tishkevun Ben Shvatayim. So now we said that this Ben Shvatayim in regards to Klal Yisrael in the Midbar means that when they were alone, the husband and wife, in the Tznua places, Kanfeyona Nechpa Vakesef. There's a remez over here to the payment of Kesef. Their wings, Klal Yisrael, that's like a dove, their wings will be on Kesef, with half Kesef, and Vevrosea, that's Nachbara Kesef Vevrosea, Mirakrok Charutz, that they will have good gold. Continues the Gemara Vekivin Shemis Abros Posel Beiteyem. And once they were pregnant, they came back to their house. And when it came time to give birth, they went under an apple tree. As the pasuk in Shir HaShirim describes, under the tapuach tree, you woke up. In other words, you came into being. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shalech mishmei mara, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent from the great heavens, Misha Menachem Mishaperosan, Kichai Yezu Shemishaperos Es Avlad. And someone just like an animal cleaves its newborn, so to HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent that someone should clean the baby. Shnema. The Gemara now quotes a pasuk to back this up in from Yecheskel Tezayin Dalid. There that the pasuk says that Yecheskel is describing the Nevuah of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim b'churbana and Yerushalayim b'geula. And Yerushalayim is described, very, very powerful psukim, as a child that was born, that was never taken care of. Not even its umbilical cord was cut. It wasn't washed, and so on and so forth. Here, Chazal are going to darshan that this also refers to the children of Klal Yisrael during Mitzrayim, as we will see. Shenemar, Omodo Sayich, Biyom Holedes Osach Locharis Shorech, Uvemayim Loruchatz Telemishi. So we are that child that ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of. Umelakilen Shnei Agolin. And he brought them Shnei Agulin, which literally mean round, but in this case refers to round stone, echot shel shem v'echot shel dvash. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, v'iniku dvash misela. The pasuk tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yinikuhu, he gave us as a suckling, like an infant, nursing from its mother, dvash misel v'shemen. So that's how we know that it was specifically honey and oil. When the Mitzrayim were aware of this, and then they came to kill these children who had, as of itself, had miraculously survived. And then a nace happened. Maybe we could add, based on what we said earlier on the daf, that up until now, Kadosh Baruch Hu guides this b'derech hateva, and now this was full-fledged nace. V'nivlon b'karka, and they were absorbed into the ground. The Egyptians weren't satisfied. They brought oxen to thresh on top of it. Shenemar, as the pasuk says in Tehillim, al gabi chorshu chorshim herichu l'man nisam. La'achar shalichon, after they left, hayimitzav tzifin v'yoytzin kesev asada, they sprouted out, these beautiful Jewish children sprouted out like grass. Shenemar, as we say, lel seder, revolva ketzemech asada nesaticha. V'kimu shemizgadlin, bo'en adorim adorim lebeitein, they returned home in flocks. Shenemar, etirbu v'atigduli v'atavoy ba'adei adim, ba'adei odim, altikri ba'adei doyim, ela ba'adre adorim. Play with the dal and turn into a resh, or add a resh, and it means like flocks. U'kishenigla, kodesh baruch al yam, these were the ones who had already recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the fort. They said, oh yeah, that's the one when we were little that we had seen of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara continues, continuing to darshan, that the Paro said that to the midwives to kill all the Jewish boys, Rav Shmuel Chad Omer, Isho beat the Rav and Shmuel says, who are the Mialdos Ivrios? One of them says it was a mother-daughter team. V'chad Omer Kala V'chamosa. And the other says that it was a mother-in-law-daughter-in-law team. Man Omer Isho Bita Yocheved and Miriam. The ones who say that it was Yocheved, mother-daughter team, say that it was Yocheved and Miriam who was the team. Man Omer Kala V'chamosa Yocheved V'Elisheva. Tami Nodov, the husband, the wife of Aaron. So there are two opinions. Both say that there was Yocheved, but the question is whether the second one was Miriam or Elisheva, Aaron's wife. Tanya, command Amar Yishu Bita, Desanya. I'll bring you a raya that was a mother-daughter team. Desanya, Shifra, Zu Yocheved. V'lom, Nikrishma, Shifra, Peres, Es Havlad. She would clean the children. Dover Achar, Shifra sheparu v'ravu Yisrael b'yameha, in reference to the fact that Klal Yisrael multiplied. Pua zimiri yom lomni kushma pua shaisa poa umotzia es avlad. She would coo and take out the child. Davrachar pua shaisa poa b'rachar kodesh v'marasida imi shetelid bein shemoshia es Yisrael. She used to scream out in ruach hakodesh and say. But the makor for Pua to scream out, Rashi says, is a pasuk in Yeshayahu, kemo kayoleda, kayolada efa'a, and it means to scream out over there. Like the, so she would scream out and say that Asid imi shetele ben shemoshias Yisrael. My mother is going to give birth to a child that's going to save Klal Yisrael. Vayomer Paro commanded biyaldechen es ha'ivrios, and the pasuk continues ureisem. Simple meaning of the pasuk is when you see on the birth stool, Avnoim is the birth stool, if it's a male, you will kill him, and if it's a female, let her live. May Avnoim, what exactly is this birth stool? Amr Chim Sim Golo Moslan, Amr Lem Bishosha Koras Yelid. Yarkosel Mitstaninos Kavnoim, Bishosha Koras Yelid. Yarkosel Mitstaninos Kavnoim. At the time that a woman gives birth, if her legs are as hard as a stone, so then it's a simin that it's a boy. V'yista Amar, no, this is a play on Evnoim. V'yista Amri, and others explain, V'ayred beis hayoytze v'hine hu olsem lochal Evnoim. The Pasuk Yeshayo says that an artisan works on Evnoim. Mayotzer, what is an Avnoim? Mayotzer, well, let's figure out what a workman does, an artisan does. He has two supports on either side. Visadan be'emtza, and the object that he is working on is in the middle. Afisha yerech mikan yerech. There's a leg on either side. But what's important is vavlad be'emtza. The child is in the middle. Continues Paro, and he utters a terrible decree. Im ben huvamitenu. So Amar Chanina simen gadol matzalen. Ben panav lamata. If it's a boy, then his face will be down. Bas panel lamala. If it's a girl, her face will be up. The Gemara continues. Vatirena hamialdo seso Elohim v'loy asa kasher diber alehen. The lashon the Gemara finds alehen as being strange. Lohen mi boile. It should say kasher diber lohen. The lashon alehen Rashi spells out is a lashon that is used for bia. Like, it's very close to the word vayovo eleha. So says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina melabed shetavon ledvara dvera v'lo nitzbu. It seems that the pasuk is telling us, says Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina, that they demanded to do an avera with them, but Shifra and Pua did not cave in. Fatechayeno as hayilodim tana loy dayin shlo misu osan wasn't enough that they didn't kill them. In other words, that they didn't listen to the request of the Mitzrayim to kill the babies. Elishay Maspikas Lam Mayimu Mazon. They had the children flourish by giving them water and food. Vatamarnam Yodos Opara Kilo Kanoshim. The Pasuk says, Vatamarnam Yodos Opara Kilo Kanoshim Amitzrayas Avrios Kichayos Haina. These women are alive. In other words, Beterem Tavo Aleim Yodos Vayaladu. They give birth immediately. My choyos. So the way we just translated when we gave the literal meaning of the pasuk means that they're alive. Asks the Gemara, choyos ilay me choyos mamish. It just means that they're alive. Atu chaya milo tzuchay chris la luda. She normally needs a living woman needs another woman to pull the baby out. Ella amrulo umazu kechayonim shala. No, they're ferocious like lions. Nimshala Yehuda gurarye. Yehuda's symbol is a lion, as we see in Yaakov Avinu's brachos to Yehuda. Dan is also a chayi. He dan nachash. Naftali ayala shlucha yisacha chamar gorem Yosef b'chor shor binyamin zev yidrav. Ksiv bay. Those who it's written by, it's beferish. Udiglo ksiv bay. And who it's not written by, even there's another pasuk that tells us that they're like ferocious animals. Ma im chalavi bein arayos ravtza. We have the pasuk in Yecheskel that says that their mother is like a lion. Seven lines from the bottom. Vayiki yorami aldos esolim vayaslem botim. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewarded the Mialdos because they feared God and he gave them houses. What exactly houses did he give them? A famous Gemara. Rav Shmuel Chadom and Batei Kuhuna Leviyah. One says that means the house of Kohen and Levi. Chadom about Batei Malchus. And the other says the house of the kingdom of Klal Yisrael. Madam and Batei Kuhuna Leviyah Aaron and Moshe. That's straightforward. It's Aaron and Moshe. But even the Malchus, there's a makar for. Amandamar, but a Malchus, David nami mimiriam ka'asi. David also traces his ancestors to Miriam. Dichsiv as the pasuk in Divrei Yamim says, Atamas azuf aveikach lo kalev es Ephros. Vatevled lo eschur. That Kalev had married Ephros, and from him came Hur, uksiv, v'David ben ish Ephrati. Now the literal translation of the pasuk "Vatamas Azuva Ishes Kalev Veikachlo Kalev Es Ephras" means that Kalev was married to a woman Azuva, and then he married Ephras. However, Chazal Darshan, this is spelled out. Let's do the Rashi inside. "Vatamas Azuva Ishes Kalev Vehi Miriam." We know that Kalev was married to Miriam, and the Gemara Rashi spells out "Lukamam Mifar Shalom Nikrishma Azuva." We'll explain why she was called Azuva. Vahai v'tamas, and Chazal understand that v'tamas means shenitzra tara, that she became a mitzora. continues the Gemara according to Rashi, continuing inside Rashi, 8 lines from the bottom. After Miriam was healed, he remarried her. Alma Ephras Kari Miriam. Uksiv David ben Ishifrasi. And there's a remez then to David coming from this Ephras. The Maharsha explains that there's even a geographical raya that when the David is referred to as Ephrasi, that it does not mean that the place. Why? Because David was not from the area that's called Ephrasi, and that is Shevet Ephraim. Where was David from? David Beis Halachmi. David was from Beis Lechem. Hence, the Maharsha explains that that is why we should not understand David Ephrasi as being from place called Ephras, but rather David was from the person Ephras, Benish Ephrasi, as the pasuk describes in the end of the Gemara from Shmuel al Yudzayin, and hence he came from Ephras, who was Kalev's wife, who was Miriam. Hence, the could very well be that the Malchus went through Miriam, and that is the batim that were made for Miriam, according to one man d'amar in the Gemara. Since it was a long daf of Agadita, we'll have a little bit less of halacha, but always to try to be matzik shmeitz aliba d'ilcha. So the Gemara on Yud Aleph Amos had said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rule is that there's a midah tova is pay back more meruba midah pranos, that we always look at the positive more than we do the negative. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards us for even more when it comes to a midah tova. In the case of Gemara said was that Miriam had done Mesiras Nefesh for an hour. She got a week's worth of Klal Yisrael waiting for her when she stood out looking for her brother, which is more than midah pranos, where it's an exact judgment. A absolutely fascinating Birkei Yosef. The Chidah always had fascinating ideas. The Chidah claims in his Sefer Birkei Yosef and Arachaim in Simon Toth Pei Beis, that it could very well be that if an individual only has a half a kezayis for matzah on the night of Pesach, he should still eat a half a kezayis of matzah. And he says that the proof is the following: even though a kezayis l'chura is the achila b'erev toch l'matzos, you need a ma'is achila. Ma'is achila is normally a kezayis. Nevertheless, we know chatzi shir is also min haTorah, and we had our Gemara. This Haggadita Nilchida uses lahalacha that a midah tova is greater than a midah parano. So a mitzvah, I say, is even greater than a mitzvah slav. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ma'arich chatzi shir, that we say chatzi shir is also min haTorah, as the Gemara in the end of Yuma describes, so certainly it has chashivos to do a chatzi shir. A fascinating idea from the Birkei Yosef. Many say no, the Birkei Yosef was just giving a stam amar makom, and he did not mean that this Gemara be taken literally, but it's a fascinating take. Before I go on, my Rebbe Reb Braunschweig described the Mesiras Nefesh the Jews had in the Holocaust. He remembers as a child them unable to cook large matzos, but cooking tiny, tiny matzos way before the Nazis were looking, maybe months, even in the summer before. And as a child, these are things that he remembers. And it could very well be they did everything they can to be Mekayim Chatzi Shir. And I'm sure for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Midah Tova was Meruba Mimidas HaPeronios. I'm recording this actually on Erev Shabbos, so this brings to mind another issue, and that's the issue in Hilchos Shabbos, about putting on a blech on Shabbos, on a fire. So the Chazon Ish, again, if someone forgot to put a blech on before Shabbos, is one allowed to put, supplies in all instances, putting metal on a fire on Shabbos itself? Is there a prohibition of cooking metal? So the answer is the Rambam does say that it's prohibited to cook metal. However, the prohibition is only if it reaches the point of a gachelet. And the Chazon Ish says that, however, there would be a problem if the heat would reach Yad Soledispo it would be something like Chatzi Shir, and therefore it would be prohibited. The Sefer Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa with an important Ha'ara in Sivkatan Samech, although if you listen to our Shiur Minhilcha Shabbos, we say that from Rav Nevensal, based on things that Rav Nevensal said, I thought one could be Miyashev some of the things in the Shmir Shabbos, some of the difficulties that he has over there, and therefore conclude that halacha would be that would be prohibited to put down a blech if it actually becomes very, very hot, unlike the psak over there of the Shmir Shabbos. But there he does level an objection about putting down the blech of the Chazon Ish as not being a valid objection, because at the end of the day, we would not say Chatzi Shir in Hilchos Shabbos. Rather, if one is doing a malacha where the shir is that should become a gachelet, then it would be called a chatzi malacha. And this is a yesod that Rav Shlomo Zalman said in a few places, that there isn't an idea of chatzi shir when it comes to Shabbos if it is the definition of the malacha. If the definition of the malacha is to reach Yad Soledes Bo, the Igle Tal has this as well in Bishul, then if you do a half of Yad Soledes Bo, then you haven't done anything at all. So too, when it comes to putting down the blech, so then if the Chazon Ish's argument of Chatzi Shir, Reb Shlomo Zalman rejected. However, I would like to add that even though from the Shmir Shabbos he says that as long as it doesn't reach the state of Libud, Mamash Gachelas, it will be permissible. I argued, and you could check out the Shi'urim on Hilchos Shabbos, that according to Rav Nevensal's reading of the Mishnah Berurah, it would be, and it's definitely the Mashmos and the Mishnah Berurah, anytime it reaches the stage where the metal would normally be formed, it's the heat that would be used in forming of the metal, then it would be usur, hence putting down a blech on Shabbos, seems to me, based on my Rebbe's teachings, might be problematic. Bottom line is that a chatzi shir is aser min haTorah, a chatzi mitzvah. We have this fascinating chida that says that's a kal v'chomer one should do, and we have a ma'aser rav that in the Shoah, when Jews weren't able to do a full mitzvah, they did with mesiris nefesh. They tried to be mekayimit. Maybe it's based on this idea that mida tova takash baruch was there in the pranios. Almost all, except for the Chazon Ish. Take a look at that Ha'ara the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa on Perik Aleph Sifkatan Samach, where the Chazon Ish holds that there is an idea of a chatzi malacha. Most poskim say that if you don't reach the shear of the malacha, then in such a case, that would not qualify as a chatzi shir. Again, the particular example that we gave was in regards to Bishul going halfway to Yad Soledes Bo, and if the prohibition would be to turn it into Libun, going halfway into turning it into Libun and only reaching Yad Soledes Bo, then it would be permissible. It could be that one needs to examine the threshold of cooking metal that could be a little bit before the way the Shmir Shabbos brings it down.